fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
This one's a wild card. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Yeah, I don't know. Just saying off the air. I don't really know what to expect from today's show. It doesn't really have a theme. We're just going to talk football. How you feel about that?
Let's talk more nips.
The Heat's not here, so I don't think we're going to talk about nips today.
I don't know if we can top nips.
It was pretty good.
No intentional positional strategy. Not actual body parts.
Welcome, everybody. Please email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're going to talk about LeGarrette Blount today. Just going to fire some random questions at Dave and Jamie. Jamie just did a super flex draft. That is where you can start a quarterback at your flex position. It is becoming a little bit more popular, so why not talk about it, and we'll see where the quarterbacks went. Jamie's going to have to explain the rules of the league, because I'm looking at the draft, I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? It must be something crazy. Why Julio Jones going like seventh after Mike Evans?
It's a dynasty league.
Why would you take Mike Evans ahead of Julio Jones in a dynasty league?
Because he's younger.
Who cares, man? Julio Jones has so many good years left.
Your voice got so high there.
It did.
So does Mike Evans, who, if you recall, was better than Julio Jones last year.
Give me a break. I can't believe you took... Actually, six people didn't take Julio Jones in the Dynasty League.
If you look at any Dynasty rank list, including Keith Cummings, Mike Evans is either anywhere between 1 and 4 overall.
Where Julio isn't? Dave, am I crazy?
In general?
Yeah, okay.
I've heard your takes on things.
What about on this, Dave?
I think it's a little crazy.
Okay.
I can't help but think that when there's a dynasty element to anything, people always, they almost overreach for youth.
Well, I mean, I don't understand the reaction from Adam here when they're in our seasonal rankings. They're in some cases one spot apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like
it's a big.
Like
it's a big spot, though. It's like nobody's in seasonal. Nobody's taking Mike Evans over Julio Jones.
Agreed. But there's, you know, I mean, there's probably what you would hope 5 more good years of Mike Evans, and Julio could have 3.
You might be selling both of them short. I mean, I think Julio could have 5, and Evans could have 8. Who knows? But. I don't know. Okay. You know what? That's coming up later in the show. Going to ask you about Todd Gurley versus Devontae Freeman. Let's start, though, with LeGarrette Blount. That's the big news. He's going to the Eagles. 1-year deal worth up to $2 million, $2.8 million. Don't want to sell him short there. 18 rushing touchdowns last year. I've already gotten into a fake argument with an Eagles fan about this. He's very excited. I'm trying to talk him down a little bit, but it's not working.
Fake Eagles fan?
No, fake argument with fake argument with a real Eagles fan.
Oh, fake argument with a real Eagles fan.
Yeah, no, it's a good signing. It makes sense for them, and he's a player that can help. But what do you think fantasy wise? What's your take?
I think it's great for him to replace Ryan Matthews, and I also think it's good for fantasy because it should define the roles a little bit more clearly in Philadelphia. I think LeGarrette Blount can get you around 10 to 12 touches per game. That's right around where Ryan Matthews was last year when he was healthy. And he's going to work the goal line just like Ryan Matthews. Matthews scored 9 times.
9 times.
Well, 8
rushing touchdowns. 9 times. Well, one was a catch. The other 8 were rushing. All of them from 8 yards or closer.
I'll take the under on
that's LeGarrette
Blount on the receiving touchdown.
Well, of course he's not going to catch. But if he's going to be down there, just make it a handoff instead of a catch.
Yeah,
there's a terrible track record of running backs at that age switching teams. So you're settling for somebody in this case, and Wendell Smallwood's sleeper value has not changed one bit.
Would you take LeGarrette Blount? Okay, some of these might be obvious, so I will work my way down. LeGarrette Blount or Mike Gillisley?
Gillisley.
Okay,
that's ridiculous.
Okay. Everybody relax. It's not ridiculous.
That's a question that my aunt
would ask. I will say this. There's I saw one fantasy analyst tweet this yesterday when the signing happened that he would take Blount over all of the Patriots running backs just because of the uncertainty.
There you go. That's why it's not ridiculous. I think
is that analyst Adam Azer?
No, I'm not an analyst. I think it's reasonable to expect LeGarrette Blount to get more carries than Mike Gillisley.
I I understand your thought process behind that, but I'd worry about him staying healthy.
They both, and here's the other worry I've got with LeGarrette Blount, which I would have happily gotten to if I had had the chance before. I don't think he gets a lot of yardage. I think his yardage will be capped. What if Ryan Matthews had like six something?
Well, that was injury related though.
And,
he only played 13.
And also a lack of work. And I don't think LeGarrette's going to get the same type of workload that he had in New England. He'll have a similar role, but it won't be the same because the Eagles aren't going to be sitting on leads like the Patriots are.
Doug Peterson inherited Ryan Matthews. They signed LeGarrette Blount, so this is a guy
Do you think he's got a shot at 800 yards?
Well, if he's healthy, absolutely.
I think it could be – he might get it, but it might be on a terrible average. I think he's a touchdown or bust type of running back.
Agreed, but this is a very good offensive line that when they were healthy were, you know, producing good things in run blocking and pass blocking. I guess not healthy when they were whole because of Lane Johnson's suspension. It's hard for me to trust. I mean, you know, this is something for 10 years we've talked about. It's hard for me to trust a running back that's this age that switches teams.
Yeah. So the idea is if you're going to take them, you'll settle for them. It'll be a certain point in the draft when you'll do it. For me, that's like round 8. I don't know how late you're going with him, Jamie, but.
I mean, that's around the spot he'll go. He's in the Frank Gore conversation. You know, I would take him ahead of Stewart. I'd take him ahead of Jeremy Hill. I'd take him ahead of Latavius Murray. None of those guys I want on my fantasy team anyway. So, at least with Blount, you know, the touchdowns could save him.
Yeah. I don't even think I have to name more names. I think we have a clear picture of where you value LeGarrette Blount. Is he a top 30 running back?
I'm at 34.
Okay. So, and for the record, I would take Gillislee over Blount too. I was just asking, but, Smallwood. Look, Smallwood did fine last year. Solid rookie season. He had three games where they sort of featured him. He had 17 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown against Pittsburgh. That's a really strong game. He had 13 carries for 70 yards against Atlanta. That's a good one, too. And then he had 13 carries for only 48 yards at Seattle, but he also had four catches for 31 yards in that game, and it was at Seattle. So, yeah, Smallwood. How surprised would you be if Smallwood is the best running back in Philadelphia this year?
I wouldn't be that surprised. And that's the guy that I think people have to look at in training camp. I think you know what to expect from LeGarrette Blount. I think you know what to expect from Darren Sproles. So the youngest guy with the most upside in that running back room is Smallwood. Mm-hmm. And if the reports come out that he's playing well, then maybe he pushes Blount for a lot of playing time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he even pushes Sproles for some of that passing down.
Well, that'll be Pumphrey, because Pumphrey's basically a Sproles.
That's kind of the way that you look at it, right? Is that Pumphrey is the backup to Sproles and Smallwood is the backup to Blount.
Yeah, but Pumphrey could probably play on first and second down. Based on what his track record is, Pumphrey led the NCAA in rushing last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right, guys. Good discussion. Good stuff. Let's move on. A few questions for you. Which rookie running back becomes the feature back first? I guess I should add names to the list. So why don't we just eliminate a couple of running backs? Let's eliminate McCaffrey and Fournette. After the top two, which running back becomes the feature back first? Which rookie? We're talking Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Joe Williams, and anyone else you want to throw in there.
Mixon.
Dave?
I'll say Cook.
Cook? Okay. So this question was inspired by a couple of reports. CSN Bay Area's Matt Maiocco thinks that Joe Williams could immediately be the 49ers starting running back. And we know all about the Frank Gore stuff. And Andy Dalton just said that he likes Joe Mixon's versatility, his ability to catch the ball. What'd you say?
The Frank Gore stuff.
Sorry, the Carlos Hyde stuff. Frank Gore is not on the Niners anymore, right?
Last time I checked, he wasn't.
Okay. No, sorry, the Cardinals. Yeah. and also the Niners, by the way, they traded in the offseason for Jeremy Zuda, center from Baltimore. The Ravens were about to cut him. They drafted Josh Garnett in the first round of the 2016 draft. Looks like the interior of their line is not so bad. But anyway, Jamie says Mixon. Dave says Cook. I thought this was an interesting question. I want to know, you know, a lot of these guys have the opportunity to get an early jump and to get early playing time, and a lot of it.
Absolutely. And so the question was, which one is going to become the feature back first?
Yeah.
Which means the guy that leads the way reliably and carries from game to game. Mm-hmm. And I think Williams could end up being the Tevin Coleman to Carlos Hyde's Devontae Freeman, albeit with less stats for both.
Or he could be Freeman.
I keep watching him play, and there's very few things that Joe Williams can't do decently. He's not a great pass catcher. He works hard at blocking, but he is a one-cut runner. I totally get why Kyle Shanahan begged John Lynch to draft him.
Okay, let's go to our next question.
But he also benefited from good offensive line play at Utah. There's no question.
Let's go to our next question. Should Todd Gurley go ahead of Devontae Freeman in a dynasty league, as he did in Jamie's Dynasty Superflex League? Jamie took Todd Gurley, and then Freeman went shortly thereafter. Should Todd Gurley go ahead of Devontae Freeman in a dynasty league?
I wanted to immediately answer nope, but I know how talented Todd Gurley is. It's just a matter of things fitting in around him. And the question is, last year at this time we were saying, wow, Devontae Freeman had a great year. Can he do it again? Well, then he went out and he did it again.
Behind a good offensive line.
And now here we are saying it again. Can Devontae Freeman, for the third straight year, go out and put up tons of yards, tons of touchdowns in a contract year?
He'll probably get signed beforehand, but yes. I mean, they add Alex Mack, and you see the difference in how they played. His yards per carry went up. He was more efficient. He's still involved as a receiver. Tevin Coleman was healthier this year than he was the previous year, and he still put up dynamic numbers. So
then why did you take Gurley?
Because there's a 2-year age difference, and that's big. Again, when you're talking about dynasty, it's close. I don't think that there's a big gap between these two guys, but those 2 years at this position, that might as well be dog years. That could be 14 years, essentially, right, in how you view these two guys.
I was going to say, that's a huge difference between receivers and running
absolutely
backs. 2 years makes a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
I don't know if I could do it, though. I might be Team Devontae here.
It's fine. I mean, again, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to take Freeman over Gurley. I just don't see it long-term over the course of, because you really have to look at it like a 3 to 5 year thing with these guys at that position. I think in 3 to 5 years, if Todd Gurley's not better than Devontae Freeman, then he's one of the biggest busts at that position, maybe, you know, in NFL history.
Well, it's really hard to figure out Todd Gurley. We're going to be trying to do that right up until draft day. And you look at his first 4 games of his career, other than his NFL debut when he got 6 carries. Todd Gurley averaged 6.43 yards per carry. He scored 3 touchdowns. He was incredible. The last 8 games of the season, he was just under 4 yards. He was 3.93 yards per carry, and he scored only 7 touchdowns. And
was he at 100 yard game in his last 24?
Is it that? Yeah, I guess that makes sense. 8 plus 19, 16.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I think he has 1, because he didn't have any last year, right, Gurley?
I don't believe so.
So that's
1. I think
1.
He totaled 100 yards twice.
But rushing yards, I think it may be 24 games, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it is, Jamie, because it's the last 8 games of 2015 and all of 2016. It was good to see Gurley add pass catching, though. He caught 43 passes. That was nice. But
there is nobody else on that depth chart.
3.2 yards per carry. Like, that is crazy bad.
But the thing you got to hope for, to me, it's 3 things. Better offensive line, hopefully better quarterback play, and then better coaching.
The coaching's going to happen.
Well, the coaching did happen.
But I already believe that Sean McVay is a better play caller than Rob Boris. That's who was doing it last year for the Rams.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, you can talk about the teams that he was working with and the players he was working with. He got good production in terms of McVay. He got a 1,000-yard season out of Alfred Morris's first year as part of the offensive coaching staff in Washington. He got, you know, good production out of Rob Kelly last year. So I think there's a chance for Gurley to bounce back. Is he going to be the guy that we saw during that stretch? It's hard to say, you know, with still the limited talent around him, but there should be things that point him in the right direction. Seasonal leagues, I'm taking Devontae Freeman over Todd Gurley. But Dynasty, I'm going the other direction.
Okay. I was just looking over his first few games this year. He opens against Indianapolis at home.
Their defense is going to be better.
Jonathan Hankins.
I don't think they're going to be that good. Colts run defense.
They're going to be a lot better than they've been.
Washington in week 2 at home. I think that's a decent run.
Jonathan Allen.
At San Francisco in week 3. I was telling Jamie today, I think that's going to be a big-time under-the-radar run defense.
All depends
to
on
be
Bowman.
Nervous about.
Yeah, it does. Definitely.
I love all the young talent they have on that D line, and then at Dallas week 4, Seattle at home week 5, at Jacksonville, that's another tough defense on the rise in week 6.
If he's good, he should be able to run through those teams. Not necessarily post, you know, 150 yard games, but
yeah,
you're asking to get, you know, 16 a touchdown, 70 a touchdown.
I'm getting nervous.
Well, look, he had 278. Gurley had 278 carries last year. It is hard Somehow he did it. It is hard to be a bad fantasy running back with 278 carries and 43 catches. So I guess law of averages tells me if he got that workload again, I think we'd all would expect better production, right? I mean, it can't be, you just can't be that bad. So it's like hard to be that bad.
No, you, and then they're, again, they're committed to him.
Yeah.
It's not like they went out and signed this guy, drafted that guy. They purged themselves. I mean, you know, they bring in Lance Dunbar and they get rid of Benny Cunningham. It's basically the same thing.
You ever seen the movie The Purge?
No.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Interesting concept.
Yeah. Kind of dumb execution, right?
They've made like a bunch of sequels to it. Right?
This is the one where you have One Night to Kill Anybody.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Should we be concerned about Marshawn Lynch's carries? And I was just thinking about how we were annoyed that they weren't, like, eventually they let Latavius Murray, you know, kind of run with it, but we were so annoyed about his workload early in the season. And wouldn't it stand to reason that they would do that with Marshawn Lynch as well?
I think Lynch is a better version of what we just talked about with LeGarrette Blount. Because he's going to be touchdown dependent. If he's not scoring touchdowns like Murray did, you know, I mean, could Lynch get to 1,000 yards? Sure. Could he get you, you know, 8+ touchdowns? Sure. But you're talking again about a guy 31 years old, coming out of retirement. Would it make sense for them to lean on him? Or if they really view themselves as a playoff contender, try to keep him fresh.
Absolutely.
Until the end. So I'm not sold on this. I've said this from the beginning. You know, he's not someone that's going to end up a lot on my fantasy teams because I just don't think it's a great scenario. I love the story. Obviously, we all, you know, love how Marshawn Lynch plays and
we're all going to root for him.
Carries himself. But I think this is just something that you have to take a step back from the feel good part of it and evaluate it rationally. And 31, took a year off. Last time he played, dealt with injuries. And there are still two guys on this team that they are going to give work to in some capacity, whether it's carries, catches, whatever. They also seem to like Elijah Hood, who they drafted as well. You know, so that could maybe take a touchdown or two away in some fourth quarter scenarios.
How many carries per game do you think Marshawn Lynch would get for the Raiders?
I think it's going to be right around 14 until the end of the season, and then they ramp him up.
See, I would disagree. I would think they're just going to try and keep it around that number, and then playoff time they ramp it up. I don't think it's
right.
going
to
be.
I'm assuming they're going to try to get the one seed, and that means they're going to have to play all their games. They can't walk
hard
into week 16 or week 17.
Who knows?
They're in the same conference as the Patriots. I don't think it's that hard to say.
Well, no, they may realize that they're out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, if they're out of it, then what the hell?
Out of it being the one seed. They still have to face a very tough Kansas City team. They have to face a very tough Denver defense. Mm-hmm. So Denver will be annoying to them, you know, and we all expect the Chargers to be a lot better. So I don't know if they're going to be in contention for the one seed. I think they're, this is a, I mean, I view them like a 10-win team.
Is this division better than, that's got to be, right? Remember we talked about the AFC South being kind of a sneaky, underrated division?
The AFC West is the best division in the AFC.
Yeah.
Especially if
Denver's, I think the best Denver, division in football.
If Denver's quarterback situation gets right, then Denver's quarterback situation and San Diego's defense taking another step because they did a really nice job last year.
I was going to ask you about Denver's quarterback situation, but I'm going to save that for next week. Let's move on here as the random show continues. Email of the day number one is Matthew from Dayton. Well, it's from, he's not the email, but it's from Matthew from Dayton, who writes, hey, Matthew, Luke, Danny, and Jessica. Okay, we'll Google that one. I am the commissioner of a 14-team half-point PPR IDP auction keeper league. Ooh, that's pretty intense. One of the biggest challenges in auctions is not overbidding for the last guys in each tier of positions. It happened to me twice last year when I overpaid for Dez. Someone got Mike Evans for $20 cheaper several rounds earlier, like rounds of bidding. And with McCoy, I couldn't get, I was forced to take Jeremy Hill instead. So my question is this, assuming that streaming is not an option, what is the lowest player at each position you would trust for the season? Does that question make sense?
The lowest ranked player that we would trust as a starter.
Right, okay, so we're basically doing tiers now, right?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, so let's start with quarterback here. And if you were, this is a 14-team league, but... yeah,
it doesn't matter. Quarterback is so deep.
Yeah.
I'm going to go way past my... Not way past my top 14. I think if I'm in a league that deep, I'm more open to the idea of Cam being my starter, Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton, Matthew Stafford. Stafford is the lowest ranked of all those guys. You might even be able to talk me into Tannehill or Wentz.
Oh, I like Wentz better than Palmer, Dalton, and Stafford, so that's an easy one for me.
Well, are you comfortable starting them, though? You know, you're the last guy to take a quarterback. This is my starter.
Yeah, particularly since I theoretically spent a bunch of my earlier picks and a lot of picks on other positions.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about the super flex draft, but I took Wentz as my essentially second quarter. You know, it's almost like a two quarterback league. So I took Wentz as my second starter. So I feel very comfortable with him, you know,
okay,
as well as, you know, some of the other guys Dave said. I mean, you know, we're probably a little bit too down on Cam Newton. But most people are going to take Cam as a high-end starter as opposed to where we have.
All right. Who's, like, the last guy you feel comfortable with as your RB1?
Like
Lamar Miller?
To me, where I just load up at other positions and I just wait and wait on running backs.
No, I think we're... Because then you're doing a deliberate strategy where you're not getting a true RB1. Like, you want a top... Where's the tear drop off of like, okay, I see this guy as a legit RB1.
I think there are guys that are in the conversation. Lamar Miller, I think, is still there. Crowell has put himself there. McCaffrey is a little bit of unknown, but he's probably there. This is after Fournette for me.
We're talking 12, 13 deep here.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think I can certainly buy into Mixon because I think he's going to be the best running back in Cincinnati by far.
But you're drafting him as an RB2.
In a 12 team league, yes, but in a 14 team league, if you tell me I go receiver, and then it's Mixon, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'd feel better about that if I had another player like him as my second running back.
But that's what you'd be doing. You'd be going receiver, running back.
Right.
So you'd probably
go. But the next best running back is somebody you have ranked behind Mixon then.
Right. That would be the case.
Which
otherwise,
would be.
I'm not going that deep. I think Gillisley is as low as I go.
As an RB1 or a 2?
One.
All right, well, that's...
Yeah, Gillisley for me is an easy 2, just because you don't know how that's going
to
all
right, happen. But if you had to wedge him into your RB1...
No.
Well,
like,
look...
For me, Mixon ahead of him.
Easy. Absolutely. There's so much more upside with Mixon.
But here's the thing. Like, you both... Jamie has Mixon 16th, and Dave has Gillisley 16th. So I guess the question is, the potential RB1s right now, the way you guys look at it, is about 16 deep.
Right.
Okay. How about wide receiver 1? 8 of them?
No. Thomas is there.
Demarius? Or Michael
no,
Thomas?
No, Michael Thomas.
Okay, that's 9.
I think I'm willing to go. I think I'm willing to go 14 deep and say that Amari Cooper is my lowest ranked receiver that I would call a wide receiver 1.
Yeah, I'd probably go a little bit further than that. I would say probably 16 to Pryor.
See, I have Pryor ranked ahead of him. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you on Pryor. I think Pryor could be that guy.
I think, you know, you have the 9 guys. I'll just look, make sure we're all in the same group here. So you have, I have Cooper 10. Dave's just said it. Baldwin is 1. Hopkins is 1. Devontae Adams is 1. You know, most people consider him more of a 2, but, Sammy Watkins, I think, is an easy one if he's healthy. Demarius. Pryor is going to take some people buying into it, but they should. And you could probably say Jeffrey, too.
Okay, so the way I'm hearing this, interpreting this, is like these are guys that you guys feel have the potential to be studs. And within this group of 15, 16 wide receivers, we know about the top 8 or 9, which are the real, like, very solid elites. But it extends further than that if you just want a number 1 wide receiver.
Right. Okay. I think, again, you know, to flip the scenario. So if you go running back, and then you're talking about guys in round 3 and round 4 of a 14-team league, so you're hoping for a Pryor, a Jeffrey, you know, I don't know how many people feel comfortable with a Crabtree as their 1 or an Allen Robinson as their 1, you know, maybe Brandon Cooks, you know, just based on track record and the hope that he's still the same guy in New England. But that's kind of that group of where you're talking about.
If I go running back, and pass over any of those top 8 wide receivers, please, like, take me to the doctor. Something is wrong.
Yeah,
but
you say that though. It you can't make that a blanket statement.
Oh no, I'm
really in the first round.
I was just changing the subject. Like I know that there's no way I'm starting running back. I'm not disagreeing with what you said, but if I start running back, it's because I probably had an early pick. in the first round.
But let's just say it's I don't know, seven.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're picking seven, so you know the three receivers have already gone. You take McCoy, Gordon, Freeman, whoever you like, Jordan Howard, right?
Okay, but realistically, I probably don't do that because I've already
probably take AJ Green.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just say you don't. Let's just say it's a standard league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your feelings change between now and August, and you fall in love with Jordan Howard, or you fall in love with Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking that guy there. Then you know right after you go, before you come back, it comes back to you, you know the guys that are gone. Now, I know this is why you would take the receiver, because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no way I'm getting – maybe Michael Thomas slips there, but he's nine. There's no way I'm getting a top eight guy.
Right. So you're taking Green with the hope that you get Green and, let's just say, Ajayi or Green and
– yeah, whichever running back I like there. Right. It could be Devontae Freeman, you know, based on what I've seen in drafts.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Isn't that what you guys would want to come away with, one of those top eight receivers? I feel like I talk about this every show, so I apologize.
You do. You're obsessed with it. And, yes, that would be the goal.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. We're taking like a three-show break from top eight receivers. And we're moving on. Oh, tight end. Who's the last tight end you want as your starter?
This Gronk. Is pretty deep, too.
Gronk.
If I can't get Gronk, just cancel my team. I'm out. This is going to sound funny, but the guy that I'm willing to go with is my 15th ranked tight end, Austin Hooper. But I'm not looking at it from I want to ride with Austin Hooper all season long. I'm looking at it as Hooper's got a good week one matchup against Chicago, and I want to start him and use him. And if I like what I see, then maybe I'll keep him for week two against Green Bay. And I'm just going to play it by ear. There's two tight ends that I feel that way about. That's Ladarius Green and Hooper. And then O.J. Howard, Jack Doyle, those guys would be toward the bottom of my tight end one group two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Doyle this year. I think for me it's Julius Thomas. I'm this is all banking on Adam Gase. There's a couple scenarios where I'm banking on coach as much as player. This is one by far.
Anyway, that's number 14 for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you look at what Adam Gase has gotten from his tight ends everywhere he's been. And the fact that, Thomas, I would hope, and I've seen nothing to believe this otherwise, is in shape, should be healthy, should be ready to go, and in an offense that can certainly feature him. If you combine the production of the Dolphins tight ends last year, which was just the most ragtag group in maybe the NFL, after Jordan Cameron had his concussion, they would have combined for the number seven tight end. Now, you can say that with a lot of different teams. You combine the first guy and the second guy, whatever, would have been very good production. But we know what his offense has been. Zach Miller and Martellus Bennett in Chicago. They had, good production from those two guys, and clearly Thomas in Denver was fantastic.
Tampa Bay in week one at home, too.
Well, I don't know. Is that a good matchup or a bad matchup? Who knows?
I think that's pretty good.
But I like what you've said about Ladarius Green with Cleveland in week one. So,
yeah.
If you want to stream, that's not a bad thing to do. It's interesting that you guys are going that deep, because I kind of felt like maybe after Hunter Henry, which
is you
just
10, did a draft where you took Kobe Fleener.
I didn't like it.
I know, but once you get past a certain point, it's
right.
Like at some point you have to make a decision. Okay, am I going to reach for somebody that I don't necessarily love, or just let me play it out and see how it goes?
But that's the thing. I mean, that's why this is a somewhat difficult question to answer, because where does the tier end? In my opinion, it was at Hunter Henry. And then after that, there's like six guys who are kind of the same. But I don't know that I want to wait. I don't know that I want the 16th tight end or the 14th tight end.
Nobody does.
Well, do you go into the draft saying, I want a top blank tight end?
Well, I like the draft I did last night. I was just kind of playing it out, and there was Jordan Reed in a full point PPR at 27 years old in a dynasty league sitting there in round six. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, this is a no-brainer. And then in round 10 in the dynasty league, I was shocked, wasn't playing this. There's O.J. Howard.
So, okay, let me ask this. Let me phrase this a little differently. When you look at your rankings, how many tight ends do you look at and say, there's very little chance this is a streaming tight end? Where are the guys that are going to be rostered all year? Where's the cutoff there up to the point where we get to, okay, now we're looking at streamers?
There's 11 for me that I feel comfortable can be week 1 through week 17 starters.
That's the question. That is the answer I was looking for. And 11 for you would be Jack Doyle.
Yes.
Dave?
13, ending with Jack Doyle.
Okay. Alrighty then. Email of the day number 2 is from Garrett. By the way, Matthew, Luke, Danny, and Jessica are the Defenders? Is that a comic book or something? Iron Fist? I don't know. The defenders.
Don't know.
Yeah. How much do you weigh into strength of schedule? Schedule strength. Do I pass on guys, regardless of rank, if they have a top 5 to 10 hardest schedule?
When you say strength of schedule, are you looking at the one that's on pretty much every major media website that takes what teams had last year as their record and then creates a – they add up the wins and the losses of all their opponents and it creates a percentage of how the opponents did last year? That strength of schedule is brutal. That's not right.
It's worthless.
It's really worthless because teams change so much. Teams that were so bad last year that we expect them to get better. We've talked about Philadelphia's defense becoming better this year.
So
they were good last year, but I think they could be even better this year.
Right. So what do you use? And you, Dave, I think you're more of a strength of schedule guy. And the person I really want to talk about is Fournette. But let me answer this question first, then we'll talk about Fournette.
What do I use?
Yeah.
I judge every defense before the season starts, come up with a grade for each defense, and then plug that into everybody's schedule. And that's how I find the teams that have good defenses versus bad defenses ahead of them. I'll also look at things like how often they play a team coming off of a bye week, because that's kind of unfair. One team just played the week before, the other team didn't. They've had a week off. That other team is typically fresher.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing at home on top of it, it really makes for a tough opportunity for a win for the team that's not coming off the bye. Teams that play on the road, three straight games. Sometimes teams that play on the road for three straight games play against a team that's been at home for two or three straight weeks, and it's difficult.
Are there any teams that you've identified? I know you had the Packers last year. You loved their schedule, and it turned out they obviously had a great year. Maybe that didn't matter, but they could have taken advantage of a really good schedule there. Are there any teams that you've identified so far that, good or bad, stand out to you?
There's a few. I think Pittsburgh's got a good schedule. I think they're one of four teams. I think Indy, Jacksonville, and Tennessee, I think they've got good schedules. I think Houston's okay. Some teams that I'm nervous about, Chicago, big time Chicago. The Giants. The Giants might be this year's Eagles, but I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet. Well, they do play four teams this year coming off of a bye, and I think I'm looking at my notes. Three of them are consecutive, but there's a bye week in between for the Giants. So one of the games that they play coming off of a bye will be against another team coming off a bye. It's the Rams in week 9.
But what I told you when we talked about this, like, I don't know, a month or so ago, the Giants have the biggest disparity between, like, days of rest. They have the least, I don't know, they have the worst schedule in terms of days of rest compared to their opponents, and the Chiefs have the best. So I don't know if that factors in. But let's talk about Leonard Fournette, because I looked at his schedule. I talked about this with Jamie on April 28th, the day after the first round of the draft. I hate his early season schedule. Okay,
yeah.
At Houston in week 1, Tennessee in week 2. Tennessee allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs last year. And I made this point the first time I brought it up, probably because people just passed all over Tennessee. It didn't necessarily mean their run defense was good. I think they gave up like 4 yards per carry. Baltimore in week 3. That could be tough. That's always tough. At the Jets in week 4, they could have a good run defense. At Pittsburgh in week 5, and then the Rams in week 6. So I think between Houston, Baltimore, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Rams, in my opinion, I'm looking at 5 teams that could have good run defenses, and then that's not even counting Tennessee that was number 1 against opposing running backs last year. So it looks like a really tough start for Leonard Fournette. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. It's going to be tough. But the one thing that's in his favor is, even though it's tough defenses, he's going to get the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you can get somebody who's going to get those kinds of opportunities, 15 carries a game, a couple of catches on top, maybe more. And look, a lot of those teams do not have amazing offenses to go with it. So they could be low-scoring slugfest. Houston in week 1, Baltimore, the Jets, and the Rams, 4 of them. 4 of them are teams with sloppy offenses, and Jacksonville's defense is good.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a lot of, 17-14 games between those teams in the early going. And I think that favors a guy who gets a lot of work, and that's Fournette. So it's a strike against him, but it's not one that makes me want to not draft him.
All right, let's do some news and notes. NFL owners are expected to reduce overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. And they are expected to approve allowing 2 players to return from IR, Jamie, yay or nay?
Oh, I love it.
All right, hooray.
Which one?
The Both? Second one.
Yeah, I like the IR one.
Yeah, you as a fantasy football fan cannot like the reduction of time in overtime.
What?
They're taking 5 minutes of game away from us.
Who cares? It's so rare. It's not going to affect
rare,
that many games.
But you don't. We want that clock to.
It's also
to
five
be
more
there.
Minutes where guys can get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
You gotta look at the glass half full sometimes.
Buffalo wide receiver Zay Jones is week to week with a knee injury. That's
yeah, he sprained his knee, right?
I don't know what it was.
Let's see what happens with MRI results.
Okay. And Carson Palmer says John Brown looks more explosive.
Just keeps in line with everything that's been going on this offseason. First, it was Michael Bidwell saying they feel like they solved it. Larry Fitzgerald told me he looks like he's back to his old self. You have the report that he had a cyst on his back that got removed, and, you know, that could have been, he said it was sapping his energy. So everything's looking up and up from, actually moved him ahead of J.J. Nelson. So I think that's a big reason for J.J. Nelson's performance last year was not only Floyd being gone, but also John Brown's situation. So don't expect J.J. Nelson to get the same amount of targets that he had. You know, I've been very excited about J.J. Nelson, but if John Brown's right, then that takes away a lot off J.J. Nelson's plate.
Is he becoming the offseason hype king of 2017?
After one good report?
John Brown. There's been several. You just named them all.
those other ones hyped him, though.
They all hyped him. But they're all talking about how he's getting better and healthier and on the right
track.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's necessarily put him
I read
him
he raced a cheetah and won.
And then he ate the cheetah.
But that's a good question. Who is the biggest off-season riser so far?
Oh, Jameis.
Jameis is there, and he's getting plenty of good press, too.
And Mariota.
Sure.
Or is it Amir Abdullah?
No.
No, but I think you'll start to hear a lot of great reports about Paul Perkins now that LeGarrette Blount is signed.
Oh, he was never going there to begin with.
Well.
I can say that comfortably now since he's not there.
There was no chance.
Well, you know, Ben McAdoo never says no to anything, you know? So
he doesn't say yes to anything.
Yeah, correct.
Just nothing all the time.
He says, let's look at the draft that Jamie did yesterday. This was okay, why don't you tell me the format? I know it's 12 teams and it's super flex, but tell me about the draft.
It is a dynasty league, so a startup dynasty league. It's with analysts from around the industry, plenty of other sites. You start, it's 4-point passing touchdowns, but with the super flex, that still puts a you know, quarterbacks in a prime situation. And you start potentially two quarterbacks, 3 to 5 running backs, 5 to 7 receivers, 1 to 2 tight ends, no kicker and a defense. 28-round draft.
Wow.
That was long.
Okay. So you had, what, the third pick?
Huh?
You had what pick?
I had the fourth pick.
Fourth pick.
So I knew, in my mind, there's a top four, and I think, again, most dynasty rank lists, you'll see the same thing, of Beckham and Evans in that order for me, and Zeke and Johnson in that order as well. And it went Beckham, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Mike Evans.
I'm sorry, Jamie, I missed it. What was the PPR-ish? What was it?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a PPR league. PPR. Again, 4 points for passing touchdowns.
Okay.
Passing yards, I believe. It's all decimal points, so the passing yards are a little bit skewed, I think.
Okay.
But it still favors quarterbacks heavily. So, it, surprisingly enough, in the first round, Andrew Luck went at 6th overall. Aaron Rodgers went at 8th overall. And the quarterbacks were really flying off early. I was really shocked.
Oh, yeah, so it's Beckham, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Mike Evans to Jamie, Le'Veon Bell, Andrew Luck, Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Antonio Brown, Marcus Mariota. How old is Antonio Brown? He's like 29?
29.
Marcus Mariota, 10. So he's the third quarterback off the board. Mm-hmm. AJ Green, 11. Amari Cooper, 12. I'm not going to go through the entire draft, but... yeah, what did you take away from this? I already talked about the Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley thing, talked about Julio Jones, Mike Evans.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what I did, but I think the more interesting thing is, you know, talking more about Superflex.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm trying to get some stats on that right now at 4 point per passing touchdown, but go ahead.
So, again, you heard 3 quarterbacks were drafted in the first 10. Rushing quarterbacks are always going to be a little bit more of a priority in leagues where it's 4 points for passing touchdowns, and this is also -2 for interceptions. So, you know, if you have a 352-2 game, it's not exactly going to blow your doors off like it would in most scenarios. Russell Wilson was a second round pick. Cam Newton was a second, three picks into the third round. So those guys, you know, certainly have a little bit of a boost. I was actually planning on, or hoping to see where Dak Prescott would have fallen. He tied for the lead with rushing, quarterback rushing touchdowns with Tyrod Taylor last year, and Taylor was somebody I was going to consider with as a second quarterback. But I ended up with Matt Ryan. I took him in the fifth round. That's something, you know, if you told me before the draft started, I never would have considered.
Wow.
But I looked at him as, you know, really one of the last, you know, I don't know, great, but certainly good quarterbacks. He's still relatively young.
So the fifth round for Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
And like Marcus Mariota went in the first round?
Right, but
Cam
again,
Newton was in the second.
But again, early those guys with their running, you know, even if Cam runs less, he's still running more than Ryan. And so if Ryan takes a little bit of a step back, like we saw the previous couple of years, you know, you could see a downturn for him. But Carr went ahead of Ryan. I was a little surprised at that. You know, again, you're playing on youth. Brady went ahead of Ryan. That's the one that surprised me the most because, you know, this could be his last year. And as we know, the Madden curse, it not only is going to affect him this year, it already affected him last year because now he has concussions after he was on the Madden cover. So that's pretty amazing that it had a reverse curse. So I took Ryan in the fifth round, and then after some more quarterbacks went off the board, Roethlisberger went after him, Cousins went after him, Stafford went after him as well. In the seventh round, I took Carson Wentz.
Okay, yeah, so that's the thing. It's like these people are taking a quarterback in round one, and then when do you feel like in a super flex league you should take your second quarterback? Because the whole point is not just to have a good quarterback. The point is to have a good flex, right? Like, don't you need to invest
depends.
Early?
There's a, you know, I know a lot of our listeners, and I don't want to pronounce his name wrong, but J.J. Zachar, he's the guy known for the 2QB.
Zachariasen,
I think is how you pronounce it. His first quarterback was Ryan Tannehill. He stuck to his guns. You know, he's not taking a quarterback soon. And I think he came out with Ryan Tannehill and, Carson Palmer as his first two starters. Now, not exactly great in the Dynasty League, but, you know, he's got a stacked roster everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, okay, so looking at a four-point-per-passing touchdown league, David Johnson was the best flex last year in standard scoring. He scored right around as many points as Andrew Luck. And now I'm looking at a different website because our website does its stats based on four-point-per-passing touchdown.
Well, as you talk, I could tell you what happened in this league if you just run this scores from last year.
Well, I'm trying to see let's take a guy like Jameis Winston, who was what, about 15th last year at quarterback, maybe even lower than that. So I'll find out where in a standard scoring league. I don't know about PPR. That's a little bit different.
Well, here, I'll just tell you this. This is PPR. This is everything scoring in this league.
Oh, I can look it up. Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
David Johnson was the number one overall player, better than Aaron Rodgers.
In PPR, okay, 80 catches, yeah.
And just to give you an idea, I won't go through all the names, but there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in the top 12 non-quarterbacks.
I forgot yours is PPR. I'm looking at standard scoring, so this is kind of worthless.
The only quarterbacks in the top 12 were Rodgers, Breeze.
Oh, my God. We've got breaking football news.
What?
Remember how I said that drafting Ladarius Green was a good idea?
Not anymore. He's retiring.
He's been released by the Pittsburgh.
Whoa.
State.
That's got to be injury situation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Woo.
Okay. So,
Nation failed physical.
Let me just say that it's pretty clear that in a Superflex league, PPR versus standard matters quite a bit. So I guess you shouldn't be, are you as eager to have your quarterback be your flex in a Superflex league if it's PPR? All right, well, obviously you're not as eager, but how eager were you? Is your quarterback a flex?
It's Carson Wentz, but I think, you know, you look at it not necessarily from the top tier guys, but it's once you start to get past that, you know, in the top, I'll just give you the top 30. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 quarterbacks.
In the top 30 last year?
Overall players.
Yeah.
So, like, think about how bad Andy Dalton was last year. Didn't throw 20 touchdown passes. He's a top 30 player.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor missed a couple games, didn't have a great year, top 30 player.
So you got to have a quarterback as your flex.
Right, but I think the question becomes is when you're talking about 4 points for passing touchdowns, and we'll get into this more when we get closer to the season with our two quarterback league, because that's essentially what this is. Is it better to wait like the people that the three owners that took the quarterbacks early of Luck, Rodgers, and Mariota, could they have waited necessarily a little bit later? Like, is my strategy better than that one of a fifth round guy and a seventh round guy as opposed to a first round guy? And I don't know when they took their second one, but.
Well,
you know, it just depends.
The fact that you like, got Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's pretty nice in the fifth round.
Right, just the way that it unfolded. And, I wish I had it in front of me, but I could look real quick. But, you know, when you're talking about age, he's 32. So what's his longevity of being a great player? You know, is it Tom Brady? Is he playing that way till he's 40, or is it more he starts to break down in 3 or 4 years from now? That's why I kind of made Wentz a little bit of a priority because I think he can have a good, if not great, career. And so if that's the case, then I'm good. And then because it was 28 rounds at the end, you know, you're taking players that you hope are going to, you know, be successful for you. I took Josh Dobbs, who could be the starter in Pittsburgh, you know, maybe next year if Ben Roethlisberger retires. And then I took Nate Peterman, who may even end up starting for Buffalo this year.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing with dynasty leagues, how far in the future are you looking? I mean, are we really – if a guy's not only going to have like 3 good years left, does that really matter? I mean –
Well, I'll tell you what position it matters the most in is quarterback. Like, you definitely want to nail down the quarterback position in Dynasty if you can. It doesn't mean you have to spend a first-round pick on Andrew Luck. Luck was the first guy taken in your draft chamber.
Yeah, he was a sixth overall player.
It doesn't mean you have to do that. There's plenty of quarterbacks that you can get and say, all right, at least I've got this covered for a while. And that way, this kind of mirrors the NFL. You want to have that position taken care of because you know that there's going to be a lot of turnover at running back. Same for the stud players that you know are also going to be first-round picks. Same with wide receivers.
Well, I
feel like you can draft a young quarterback and say, okay, got it covered. Don't have to really think about quarterbacks for the next 5+ years at the very least.
But see, here's just a good example, and we had this question earlier in the offseason, Adam. And I don't know if this is the exact way to – you want to mirror this same scenario, but Jameis Winston versus Tom Brady in a dynasty league. And so just to give you how the quarterbacks went, you know about the first two guys. Here's the guys that went ahead of Tom Brady. So it was Luck, Rodgers, Mariota. And you could, you know, say that dynasty, this is the right way to go or not. But Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, and then Tom Brady.
Brady is a different – I get it. It's a good point. It's a little bit of a different circumstance for me. I kind of want to make this more about a guy like Devontae Freeman versus Todd Gurley, where, okay, I don't think any of us would be surprised that Devontae Freeman has at least, let's just say, 3 good years left. That's a lot. I mean,
what if he ends up, though, not getting the contract extension from the Falcons, leaving Atlanta, going to a situation where he does get paid, and all of a sudden the same thing that happens to Latavius Murray happens to him? He signs what, you know, is considered a nice contract for a running back. And then maybe not that same year, but a year later, they draft a guy who could be his replacement.
Well, that's a good point. But what about just the generally speaking here, a lot's going to change in the NFL in the next 3 years, you know? So
sure. But I think, you know, just with these two guys in particular, you're looking at what the investment is plus the age plus the upside. You know, so we've seen both guys essentially play their best over the last couple of seasons so far, right? I mean, you could say that Freeman's 2-year span, I don't know if he's going to get better than that. He might, but as long as Tevin Coleman's healthy, it's hard to say. And Gurley, that, you know, 10-game stretch or whatever it was his rookie year, that may be his best.
6 games, so, really.
Okay, so who has the better chance of getting back to that as early as this season? So it's probably Freeman, but you would say over the next couple of years, who could maybe sustain that? And I would think it's Gurley because they're going to continue to build around him.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Atlanta may look at it and say, we've got a guy that's pretty good in Tevin Coleman. They may like Brian Hill, who they drafted. Who knows?
He's not bad.
And they may say, why are we going to pay him? You know, I mean, he's already making us think about what his contract is now. He comes out and says,
okay.
I want to be elite. You know, I mean, there's just the scenarios. And like I said, I wouldn't have had a problem if somebody would have taken, you know, I'll backtrack for a second. So my first three picks were Mike Evans. There were some people that watching the draft last night. Mike Evans, Todd Gurley, Jordan Howard. We did the draft on another site, and I was, you know, a little preoccupied. I missed Jordan Howard. It happens. You know, you're doing your draft, you're doing other things. I didn't even see Jordan. I'm like, oh my God, did I just take Todd Gurley over Jordan Howard? And then round 3, thankfully, Jordan Howard fell in my lap. So I probably would have done it the reverse.
No one could find Jordan Howard.
Apparently. I probably would have done the reverse.
Did you get a lot of, great picks for that one?
No, I just, I was, cause I was on a turn, you know, so I was just posting every three picks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Every two picks. So, but there were people that were tweeting at me that were following the draft going, wow, you took Todd Gurley over Jordan Howard. I was like, shh, don't say anything.
Gurley, so, it was four games, by the way, for Gurley. I said six. It's that four game stretch in 2015.
But the point would be is if it would have gone, let's say I take Howard in round two and then it comes to me and there's Devontae Freeman, who went, what was it, in the middle of the third round?
Devontae Freeman? No, he went in the second
right
round.
He went right into the second round. But let's just say it would have fallen differently. Let's say I take Howard in round two. Gurley goes right after him, and then it comes back to my pick early in round three, and there's Freeman. I'm thrilled with that. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
So I know it's kind of nitpicking, but I think, again, you're looking at it, the two-year age difference, the teams that they're on, basically the scenarios. For right now, Devontae Freeman's better, which is why our seasonal rankings reflect that. But long-term, I hope Gurley's better. That's why I drafted him.
Okay. All righty, that makes sense. Good stuff. And can we see the results anywhere, Jamie?
Yeah. I'll post the link on. I'll tweet it out.
Tweet it out at Jamie Eisenberg, JAMEY, at Dave Richard, just Dave Richard, singular. And I'm at Adam Azer, AIZER. And we'll finish the show with your emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com, FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Oh, we also have people renaming the Azer strategy. So tell me what you think about these. This is from the great Jim Duba, the buddy system. Yeah?
Yeah, sure. I like great.
That's a name.
Let's see. The bulk play from Rob. The bulk play. That's a tough word to say.
Bulk play?
Yeah, the bulk play. Or the friend zone. He likes that, the friend zone. That's kind of cool. I like the friend zone.
I like the Azure strategy.
I'm liking, yeah.
Okay, from Jay. The squad strategy, the core strategy, like CORPS, the tandem strategy, and the Russian roulette strategy.
Azure strategy still for me.
Okay. Not really Russian roulette. The family flex strategy and team tandem. This from, I don't know who sent this in, but somebody without a name. Team tandem?
Azure strategy.
Buddy system.
Can I tell you something, though, about the draft? Not with wide receivers, though, but it did cross my mind to do this. And I did it twice. Not the way I wanted it, because I was going to try and get Smallwood and Pumphrey, thinking that, okay, I got the Eagles.
You have the future of the Eagles run
potentially,
game.
Or, you know, two
right,
guys.
Because
two guys
and Sproles, you combine their age, and, I mean, they're already on AARP.
Yes, they'd be 64. didn't work out. Somebody got Smallwood, but I did it with Pumphrey. But I'm like, you know, let me see which backfields I can pair. That may have some potential. And again, you're talking 28 rounds, so it's a lot. So I took James White and Rex Burkhead, thinking, let's see what happens, you know, and White could be good in PPR. And what was the other one that I did it with? Can't find it now. There was another one that I did this.
Come on, also. Jamie!
But I did it purposely, and I was actually thinking of your stupid face.
I have a tendency to do that to people.
This is another great situation. You're going to love this. If you didn't love the Rex Burkhead and James White one, Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson. Again, very, very late, but your voice...
I like that a lot.
Your voice was in the back of my head, Adam, when you said this about Booker after the Jamal Charles signing. Injury-prone C.J. Anderson, 100-year-old injury-prone Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm. It's not 100.
These two guys have the, you know, next-man-up scenario.
According to a report, Jamal Charles has a 50-50 chance of making the roster.
Right. So, yeah. So you know, Booker, we looked at this last year and said, oh, wow, tremendous opportunity. And I don't think we really fully evaluated how bad that Denver offensive line was. And they add Leary and they draft the tackle, mm-hmm. you know. So there's a chance that this could be a very good situation for someone playing behind two very injury prone guys. And so I was actually surprised Booker fell as far as he did, given that he's a second year guy.
I like Henderson too.
Yeah,
I think that's a good pick.
I saw you took him in the other dynasty league that we're in.
Not only did I take him in that league, it was in the supplemental draft.
We all missed him in the rookie-only draft. Our rookie-only draft was a little weird because there's IDP, so six rounds of
but
IDP.
Still,
guys.
You'd expect a running back with his kind of speed
if everybody's healthy, though, for Denver, he's probably on the practice squad. I mean, that's the most likely scenario for him. But still, there's a chance.
Oh, he'd get claimed by another team. He wouldn't make the practice squad. He's good. He's a good little running back. Actually, he's not that little. He's pretty big.
All right, so I think it's still the friendship strategy. That's what we got so far.
Oh, Ozier.
No, I told everybody, so every other fantasy analyst knows now around the country that I was like, oh, I'm taking the Azier strategy here. And they're like, well, what's that? And I said, well, you know, if we take two players on the same team. I did it actually at the receiver spot, too. I took Larry Fitzgerald and J.J. Nelson.
There you go. There you go. The friendship strategy at play. I love it. And can you believe, Dave, that Jamie asked me earlier this week, get a load of this. You are, like, I hope you're sitting down, Dave. He said, should we start Marcus Stroman or Jose Berríos this week? I mean, can you imagine?
We have the Berríos guy on Berríos. Our team.
You know what we should have done? We should have started both those guys over Carlos Carrasco.
I'm sorry about that. My bad.
Hope we lose, to be honest with you.
No. Why?
So, Dave, just to let you know, we're undefeated in this league.
Not only are we undefeated, we play two opponents every week. We're 12-0.
Right, we're 12-0.
Wow.
So we've had a good run so far. Yeah, as you know, because I know you're so in tune with this, Dave, we come up with a very unique, funny name every year.
Oh, yeah? What's your team name this year?
Well, it's still the same one as last year because we couldn't come up with anything when the year started.
You mean to tell me that two guys that can't find a name for a strategy better than Azier strategy couldn't find a better name?
That's right.
For their fantasy baseball team?
That's right. Well, we usually,
than what you had last year?
We usually base it off of something related to
I really don't want to get into this.
Not going to say it, but one of the players on our team, and we put a little bit of a spin on it. So we have a good name.
Like a top.
Yes, or dreidel. So we have we have a name for our team, and he won't let me change it until we lose.
Yeah.
And so not only do I like the team name that we came up with, but the one that now we have some fallback options because you can go crazy with Berríos. Like Honey Bunches of Berríos.
But it's Berríos.
I don't care.
I mean, that's like you can't name your team after the wrong pronunciation,
well,
can you?
We're playing off of Dallas Keuchel's name.
His first his last name, but
I can't believe you are.
Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way.
In a funny way.
Okay.
In an Azier strategy type of way.
Okay. So emails. This was
the best segment we've done in our podcast ever. Congratulations.
John from Dave's favorite city in Virginia.
Adam, I am me that you're editing this.
Richmond?
No, I didn't. Where? Richmond, Virginia?
We're going to go with Richmond.
Dave's just bailing it in at this point. Dear OJ, Evan, and David.
Alice Keuchel.
Those are the three first round tight ends in order of second best, third best, best. OJ, Evan, and David. I'm in a 12-team PPR super.
Or it could be me, my cousin, and a guy who currently is in jail.
That's right. I'm in a 12-team PPR super flex league where I can have two keepers for one season. We generally wait on quarterbacks unless they're elite. So who should I keep? This is a super flex question. Who should I keep? I'm keeping Antonio Brown, trying to choose between Drew Brees, DeMarco Murray, and Dez Bryant. There are already about 10 quarterbacks being kept, if not more.
Brees. You already have Antonio Brown. Having Brown and Dez is pretty radical. You've got two of the top eight.
But yeah, I keep
it's a super flex. It's a super flex. You can have Brees and somebody else.
All right, so let's just play this out, though. So Brady, Rodgers, Luck, Big Ben, Eli Manning, Marcus Mariota, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Stafford, and Bortles are all being kept.
Someone's keeping Bortles?
Well, it's a two-quarterback league.
Someone's keeping Bortles?
So you have Bortles being kept. That guy's taking another one early. And maybe the Stafford owner is taking another one early. So I'd keep Dez and not Chase.
Okay. This email is from, how would you pronounce this name? A-D-E-L. Adele?
Adele?
Adel.
Adel? Okay. Dear Drew, Brian, hey. Nick, and Kirk. That feels so obvious to me. Like, I see Brian and I just immediately think, it's Backstreet Boys, right?
I see Drew, and I think Drew Brees.
And I think Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles, Brian Hoyer, Drew Brees. Michigan State? Not Drew, though. Oh, Drew Stanton.
Drew Stanton went to Michigan State.
Brian Hoyer.
Who's the Nick? Oh, God.
Nick Papagiorgio.
He didn't go. He went to UNLV.
Okay. Let's read the question.
This is going to bug me.
I don't know if it's Michigan State. I was just making that up.
I think it's Michigan State.
Because Kirk Cousins went there. So, yeah. So, who's Nick? All right, 10-team half-point PPR league, I have to keep Antonio Brown or Ezekiel Elliott for my first-round pick. Who do you take, half-point PPR? I have the 11th pick.
Oh, I guess Foles went there for a spot.
Oh, Foles, he did? Interesting.
And he ended up at Arizona, right?
Yeah.
I haven't paid attention to
Zeke or Brown, half-point PPR. Who, Antonio or Zeke, who are you keeping?
Zeke.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Foles did definitely end up at Arizona, but I guess these are Spartans quarterbacks. Josh from Long
Beach. We got there. Good job.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you, Google. Josh from Long Beach, California. Hey, Chris, Paul, and George. Is that a combination of Chris Paul and Paul George?
Maybe.
Or there was no Chris in the Beatles. He's the fifth Beatle. Who should I keep in my 10-team PPR league, three wide receivers? Melvin Gordon in the fourth or Allen Robinson in the fifth? I'm keeping Beckham as well. Melvin Gordon in the fourth or Robinson in the fifth?
Melvin.
Yeah, Melvin's better.
Dave, can you even think about are there five rock stars who have ever had a better voice than Chris Cornell?
I'd have to really think about it, but I'm sad about that news. I loved his voice.
Yeah, it was terrific. Were you a big Soundgarden guy?
I'm a big fan of his, and I really liked Soundgarden.
Yeah. I never really got...
Audioslave and Temple of the Dog were good too, but I really appreciated Chris Cornell.
I never really got into Soundgarden, but I think the second... I don't know how many Audioslave albums, but the one Out of Exile, loved that album. And the first album, the one before that was really good too, but... Yeah, that sucks. Very sad. R.I.P. All right, we'll talk to you all next week. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to Fantasy Football Today. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.